The scripture reading this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 29, and we'll read through verse 2 of chapter 12. By faith they crossed the Red Sea as if they were on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried it, they were drowned. By faith Jericho's walls fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute wasn't killed with the disobedient, because she welcomed the spies in peace. What more can I say? I would run out of time if I told you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, brought about justice, realized promises, stopped the mouths of lions, put out raging fires, escaped from the edge of the sword, found strength in weakness, were mighty in war and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured and refused to be released so they could gain a better resurrection. But others experienced public shame by being taunted and whipped. They were even put in chains and in prison. They were stoned to death. They were cut in two. And they died by being murdered with swords. They went around wearing the skins of sheep and goats, needy, oppressed, and mistreated. The world didn't deserve them. They wandered around in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. All these people didn't receive what was promised, though they were given approval for their faith. God provided something better for us so that they wouldn't be made perfect without us. So then let's run the race that is laid out in front of us, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us throw off any extra baggage, get rid of the sin that trips us up, and fix our eyes on Jesus, faith's pioneer and perfecter. He endured the cross, ignoring the shame for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him, and he sat down at the right side of God's throne. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week we stood with Abram in the darkness of his fear. Through that darkness, God told Abram to look into the starry night, to count the stars if he was able. God told Abram that the promises of God continued to shine brightly above and before him. And Abram believed God. Have the clouds cleared for you yet, whatever the clouds might be that are hanging over you? Can you see the stars shine brightly in the night sky? Has the sunlight broken through for you? Can you see the beauty of God's promise before you? What if the whole faith thing doesn't seem to be working? What if there were a faith forecast every morning instead of a heat index? Would your morning forecast call for chances of partly cloudy skies or mostly clear skies? Can faith create its own weather system, having the power to influence the climate of our lives? If faith could alter the climate of life, would it always result in sunshine and twinkling stars, or might it actually produce some clouds? The 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about Abraham and Sarah and others who have lived by faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph and Moses, heroes of faith, each and every one of them living by faith, walking in sunlight. Then it seems that the writer of Hebrews finally reads the room. His readers weren't exactly the kind of people who could identify with such heroes. Sunshine wasn't exactly flooding their souls. The early believers to whom the epistle of Hebrews was written had turned to the way of Christ. And where had it gotten them? They found themselves struggling with opposition and hostility, at times even physical violence. Life for them had become an endurance contest that left them exhausted, frustrated, and confused. This faith thing seemed to be more trouble than it was worth. It had failed to be an escape from the hardships of life. Faith had not secured God's special favor for them and their loved ones. Where were their twinkling stars? Where was their sunshine? So another list is offered for those whose eyes were beginning to glaze over, not from the glare of sunshine, but rather from irrelevance or disconnect from the heroes of faith that were being honored. To keep the attention of his readers, the writer of Hebrews turns to some other names, names of people with whom his readers could perhaps identify more readily, people whose stories seem to be lived on the shadow side of faith. But others experienced public shame, being taunted and whipped. They were even put in chains and in prison. They were stoned to death. They were cut in two. They died by being murdered with swords. They went around wearing the skins of sheep and goats, needy, oppressed, and mistreated. The world didn't deserve them. They wandered around in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. Amy Peeler writes, in these verses, a litany of suffering flows from the writer of the Hebrews' pen. Hardships of all kinds in life and in death. Even in these situations, their faith remained. They didn't give up. Now it was getting interesting. Real people with real problems and real pain, and their faith remained. The letter to the Hebrews, which was starting to look like one of those slick promotional pamphlets, was finally gaining some credibility, or at least relevancy. But could hearing the story actually strengthen their faith? Could stories strengthen our faith? Maybe we can relate to them, but how do stories change anything for us? Amy Peeler goes on to say, they persevered, and having persevered, they are now part of a community. A community the writer of Hebrews identifies as a great cloud of witnesses that is surrounding the Hebrews as they face their own struggles and challenges. It is that great cloud of witnesses to which the Hebrews are to look if they hope to hold on and finish the course of life on which they find themselves. Faith is sometimes strengthened by starry nights, sometimes by golden rays of sunshine. But sometimes, maybe faith can be strengthened by clouds. So keep the faith. Don't give up. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. But is a cloud enough? Is it enough to keep us going when the going gets tough? Is a cloud enough to keep us in the race? Enough to give us strength to endure all the troubles and struggles that we face? Enough to keep us from giving up the faith? Ask Moses and the Israelites, who for 40 long years were guided through the wilderness by their own cloud. It didn't make their way easy, but it did guide them with a sustaining assurance that God's presence was with them every step of the way, day in and day out. It was that cloud that opened up with provisions of manna at just the time they needed strength for their journey. Is a cloud enough? It was enough for Elijah, who looked for a sign of anything to assure him that God stood with him in the face of threats from King Ahab. And there was seen a small cloud the size of a human hand coming up from the sea. It was enough to strengthen Elijah for the foreboding task to which God had called him. Is a cloud enough? Ask Peter and James and John, who stood on a mountaintop with Jesus as he was transfigured before them, conversing with Moses and Elijah, when a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. Listen to him." After the resurrection of Christ at his ascension, as the believers stood watching, Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him from their sight. assurance of God's promises has long since been set in the clouds. God told Noah not to look to the stars, but to the clouds. And there he would see the sign of God's promise, the rainbow. The bow will be in the clouds. And upon seeing it, I will remember the enduring covenant between God and every living being on all of earth's creatures. Is a cloud enough to keep us going? Is a cloud enough to keep us in the race? Enough to give us strength to endure? Enough to keep us from giving up? Maybe a cloud is enough, maybe it isn't. But clouds seem to be more pervasive and more present than twinkling stars or even sunshine sometimes. Many days it seems like our lives are cloud-covered. In a Christian Century article, Arthur Ajayan describes discovering George O'Keeffe's cloud paintings on a visit to an art gallery. Having become accustomed to the modest scale of the work in the preceding galleries, I was startled to find myself surrounded by a panorama of skies and clouds, including mural-sized canvas that filled the breadth of the entire wall. The gallery had been transformed into an azure realm, suspended and floating in immense silence, as if it might have felt on the day God placed a rainbow in the clouds to signify a covenant. O'Keeffe's cloud paintings evoke a sense of boundlessness, weightless suspension, and transcendence. They are minimalist in design, existing in liminal space between abstraction and representation, mirroring the ever-changing nature of real clouds. O'Keeffe simplifies details, shaping each unique cloud like a pressed dough, with a sweetness reminiscent of gummies or children's illustrations. In their orderly rows, the clouds appear at once flat and deep, leaving the viewer disoriented. Fusing broad fields of softly rendered blue and white, O'Keeffe imparts a sense of timeless stillness and tranquility amid perpetual movement. She invites us to meditate on the infinity of space. This description may be taken out of context or a mere reflection of it. Reminds me of what seems to be rather common to a struggle of faith. It can feel like we are surrounded and floating in immense silence, disoriented, surrounded by a panorama of clouds. No stars to be seen anywhere. No sun shining, just clouds. Not to fear. Hebrews would tell us that we are indeed surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses in which we can find a sense of timelessness, stillness, and tranquility amid perpetual movement and chaos of our world. The metaphor of this great cloud of witnesses comes from the Greek amphitheater with its arena in which athletes compete, and its tier upon tier of seats rising up like a cloud, a great cloud of witnesses representing that host of fans who filled the stands cheering for their team to come to victory. The good news is that all the clouds that gather about us, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who faced their own challenges and difficulty and have been delivered, who have taken the crown, the crown of life. They surround us, and they are rooting for us on the same victory to which they now rest. When the stars go hidden and the sun hasn't shined upon us for days, well, then let us just look to the clouds and sing with the psalmist our assurance in God's abiding presence and promise. The deeper God's love, the higher it goes. Every cloud is a flag to God's faithfulness. Amen.